We thank all of our musicians for sharing their talents with us throughout the Advent season, but especially making the sacrifice to be with us on this Christmas morning. The irony is, the person for whom the Emmanuel gift was originally intended did not want it. It was intended for Ahaz, the king of Judah, albeit a corrupt and craven king. But he was in a military alliance with Israel and with Syria against the Assyrians. And Israel and Syria took exception to his backing out of the alliance, so they were going to invade Judah and depose him as king. God sent Isaiah to Ahaz to tell him to relax. Isaiah said to Ahaz, look, don't overreact. Don't do anything rash. Be cool. But Isaiah could see fear in Ahaz's eyes. And so he said to him, I have been commissioned by God to give you a promise that my counsel is true. Before long, a young woman shall conceive and bear a child. And you shall call that child's name Emmanuel, God with us. He will be a sign that God will take care of this. Before that child is old enough to know right from wrong, the threat from Syria and Israel will dissipate. Just relax. Ahaz didn't believe in the Emmanuel gift. So he struck a deal with Assyria, and he stood on the sidelines as Assyria came down and destroyed Israel and Syria. But it came at a price. From that moment on, Judah became a vassal state of Assyria, paying tribute to them, and Ahaz even constructed Assyrian altars in Jerusalem and actually practiced the barbaric Assyrian action of sacrificing one of his own sons on an Assyrian altar. But the Emmanuel gift came in the form of another son, Hezekiah, who was a good king and tried to undo all the evil that his father Ahaz had done. But after his long and faithful reign, he died. But the people of Judah held to the promise that one day another Emmanuel would come. And this Emmanuel would be a cosmic deliverer, a redeemer of God's people. And they held to that promise even as the Assyrians ruled them, and the Assyrians gave way to the Babylonians, and the Babylonians gave way to the Persians, and the Persians gave way to the Greeks, and the Greeks gave way to the Romans. They held to the promise with spiritual tenacity that one day a deliverer would come sent from God to bring them liberation and redemption. And Matthew gives voice to that ambition. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and we shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, before we can go any further, we have to deal with that little word, the V word, virgin. When Isaiah first used the term, he meant it in the very generic sense. A woman of marriageable age would conceive a child. Hezekiah was conceived and born in the usual way. But as the hope for a cosmic Emmanuel intensified, the Hebrew people came to believe that his birth would be in a special and unique way. Indeed, there are those even today who say that Jesus had to be born of a virgin for him to be the sinless Redeemer. I don't buy that. But I also don't buy the assertion that Christ couldn't have been born by a virgin without male participation, with the rules of the universe not completely falling apart. God created the universe. God established the rules of nature. And if God wants to suspend them every now and then for one human birth, that's God's right. The truth is, scientists have chronicled female sharks giving birth in captivity without male participation. Biologists have cataloged frogs, female frogs giving birth without male participation. Are we saying that sharks and frogs can give birth without male participation, but God can't do it once with the Christ? The thing is, the doctrine of the virgin birth was never about biology. It was a theological statement that in our redemption, God took the initiative. That in our redemption, it was solely God's work and not ours. God acted through this unique birth to underscore the point. I am a God of giving, and your lives are in my hands. When I think of the discussion surrounding this doctrine, my mind goes back to that dialogue in the great movie Jurassic Park, where the chaos theorist says to the scientist, "You think you can control these animals, but you can't." And the scientist reports, "You mean an island full of female animals are going to breed?" And the chaos theorist responds, "The history of nature is life finds a way. It breaks through barriers, sometimes violently, often creatively, but it cannot be contained. Life finds a way." That's the doctrine of the virgin birth. Our God is not contained by our expectations or by understanding of what is possible. God breaks through our barriers creatively, violently sometimes, but God finds a way to communicate that God is Emmanuel, God with us, and our lives are in God's hands. The real issue is, what does Emmanuel mean for us? Is the phrase "God is with us" just a collection of words? Or is it a theological understanding that undergirds our entire existence? Life is very good. Life is very meaningful, but life is also very hard. God has constructed our lives so that over time we have to surrender everything and everyone we cherish. How do we deal with that pain that sometimes is so deep no drug can assuage it? How can we deal with that sense of loss that sometimes is so profound we can't even feel like we can draw our next breath, and sometimes we don't even want to? When we feel empty in our souls, when we feel as if our life is a void, can we truly claim that promise of our God? "I am Emmanuel, God with you. Your lives are in my hands." I think of a searing moment in my own life
camping in the Nantahala National Forest at Apple Tree. The day after my longtime associate minister and good friend, Tom Green, died of cancer. I awakened in the pre-dawn darkness, and I thanked God for this man who was a good friend, a good minister, but a better man. And I found myself spontaneously praying a prayer of that God would give strength to his wife and to his son. And I felt as if all of my prayers on my friend's behalf had been for naught. And as I was praying this prayer, words entered my brain like a lightning bolt. Your life is in my hands. I have rarely been directly visited from God, but in that moment, I knew it. Your life is in my hands. And in that moment, my daughter Clara, who was just a little girl, cried out in her sleep. And I pulled her closer to me, and she nestled in and was quiet. And I thought, this is what it means to be human. In our despair, we cry out into the darkness of the universe, asking for reassurance. And the voice of God responds, I am Emmanuel, God with you. Your life is in my hands. I hold in my hands a calculator for those of us who are mathematically challenged. Do you know who created this calculator? A man by the name of Blaise Pascal, 350 years ago. Blaise Pascal was a mathematical genius. But though he believed in God intellectually, he knew that his soul was a void. He had no real depth of relationship with God. But one day he and some friends were out in a coach riding when suddenly the horses were spooked and they took off toward a bridge. And miraculously, the reins of the horses broke just as they were about to go over a chasm. And in a moment worthy of Hollywood, the coach teetered between life and death. And Pascal and his friends were able to escape. But the moment was so searing for this sensitive soul that he fell into unconsciousness and remained unconscious for several days. But when he came to, shortly thereafter, he had an experience of God in the very depths of his soul, and he penned a little prayer poem that was so important to him, he sewed it inside his coat. Fire. Fire. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, not the God of the philosophers or the learned. Certitude, certitude, joy, feeling, peace. Joy, joy, joy. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. The term Emmanuel, God with us, was no longer a concept. Now it was a truth in the very center of his soul. He had experienced God as the fire of love. And he knew Christ was truly Emmanuel, God with him. Do we? Do we truly know that phrase is our most intimate feeling? God is with us in the depths of our being? I hold in my hand a rock. A rock that has remained in my office since 1998 when I took a group to the Holy Land and one of my parishioners pilfered this rock. from around the Sea of Galilee, right near the spot where the old synagogue was. I keep this rock to remind me Jesus of Nazareth actually was in our world. He walked on rocks. He may have walked on this rock. And he would have walked on this rock and entered that old synagogue and taken up the scriptures and said, "The blind see, the lame walk, the poor have good news preached to them." And then with every eye on him, he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He was saying to them, the promise is fulfilled. The Messiah has come. I represent Emmanuel, God with you. Your lives are in God's hands. And you wonder how many in that little synagogue understood what he was saying. You wonder how many understand it even today. Some of you would recognize this box. It is a box that I give to people who are visitors, a box I give to people who are in the hospital, who are sick, who are bereaved. And years ago, it was during the Christmas season, I was taking cookies and communion to our homebound. And as I was making my trek up the hill, there was a Hispanic young man working his leaf blower, and he saw me and he saw my cookies and he said, "Oh, for me?" And I shook my head and walked on. I delivered my cookies. But as I was walking back to my car, inspiration hit me. And I found another box of cookies. And I walked back up. He was still operating his leaf blower, still with his back to me. So I startled him when I touched him on the back. And I handed him the cookies. And I said to him about the only two words I know in Spanish besides burrito and taco. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas. He would never know my name. But he would remember that a stranger in a suit came up to him and gave him a gift and wished him Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad. You can be pretty sure he opened that box and enjoyed it with relish. God gives us gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. Do we truly open them and enjoy them with relish? Is the faith in us the fire of God's love, certitude, joy, peace? This shall be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Come, let us adore him. And let us realize that the Christ gift is God's cosmic sign that truly he is Emmanuel, God with us. May we pray together. Lord, we know the words, but we don't always know the depth of meaning beneath the words. May truly we claim the fact that you are with us, God with us in the depths of our soul. And may we open the gifts that your Spirit has to offer. May truly you be for us the very fire of love, that warms our lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen.